Gather around, girls. It's story time. Welcome to Sober Living Snippets, where we live alcohol-free. We learn how. We try. Every time I say that, I realize, what about the gals out there who aren't living alcohol-free yet? I'm talking to you too, babe. I am talking to you too. And why do we do it? So we can heal relationships, heal a body, heal the soul, let go of the past, feel amazing, grow into the best we can possibly be, and make this the best chapter of our lives. That's a lot. That's what we're doing here. Hello, everyone. I'm Becca Jacobson. And yeah, I got a snippet for you. It is story time today. But first, if you're new in Snippet Land, welcome to Snippet Land. It's a magical place to be. Many things happen here, but the thing I'm most proud of here in Snippet Land is how many of you give me your trust and love and come back every single day. Those of you who come deeper into my world, the women I connect with, the women I talk to, you make it all worthwhile. And I absolutely love this work. So thank you for making it possible for me by being here. I really appreciate it. Here's a story for you. Now, I'm just telling this free flow. I'm not reading it from anywhere. It's a story I've heard actually a few times. So I'm just going to tell it the best I can. This is a story of a monk. And this monk is not very bright. He's a little bit dense. But he's one of those sweet, sweet people who's not very intelligent, but so eager to please. Just eager to please. And he joined a monastery, and he was a novice and learning and happy with that. So they gave him the job of sweeping the floors and just general cleanup. Whatever they gave him to do, he did. He was their errand boy, and he did his job to absolute perfection, meaning all he wanted to do was please, and he would do anything he was told. But the problem was, he was a walking disaster. Everything he did kind of went wrong. As I said, he was kind of dense. And so even just cleaning up a room, he would forget to sweep into the corners. And things were often messy. He was always making mistakes. But all at the same time, just this sweet, sweet, loving man who wanted to serve and help and get closer to his God. Everyone had a love-hate relationship with this guy. Their hearts melted when they saw his devotion to God and his willingness to please, and their egos got highly frustrated when he would make mistakes over and over again. Okay, so one day this monk, let's call him Monk Bruce. Bruce. Yeah, I like that name. So Monk Bruce, they decide to put him into the volunteer room, where they take in the volunteer room, what they do is they take in donations from the community of clothes or books or knickknacks or gadgets or whatever, things that people are giving away. And the woman in the volunteer room, we're going to call her Dorothy, she ran the volunteer room like a drill sergeant. Everything had to be sorted and cleaned and labeled and tagged and recorded. And she brought stuff in from the community, and it had to be properly processed. And then it was put out on shelves to be resold or given away to charity and people in need. So she had a very, very strictly functioning volunteer room that she had set up this whole system herself, and she took her work very seriously. Dorothy was a volunteer in the monastery, and this was her world. Well, one day they give Dorothy Bruce as a helper. Now, I'm sure you can imagine what happened. Well, Dorothy soon fell in love with Bruce as well because he's so sweet, right? All he wants to do is be helpful, but she also could barely stand to be around him. And it took all of her strength not to yell and scream at Bruce because he was constantly messing up everything. He couldn't get the system right, and he would put things in the wrong places. And poor Dorothy was pulling her hair out in frustration while falling madly in love with this sweet, sweet, lovable man. Well, as this went on for a while, suddenly Dorothy started noticing that every time she gave Bruce heck for doing something, every time she chastised him, every time she corrected him, every time she scolded him, he would come back with, "Thank you for the blessing." At first, she thought he was being sarcastic, and she just shook her head and walked away. But this kept going, and he would start saying different versions of the same thing. He would say, thank you for the blessing, or thank you for helping me, or just thank you. And when she realized that Bruce really wasn't capable of sarcasm, it was just not in his nature, a pure, sweet, innocent soul who just was a walking disaster. She noticed this, and she wondered, and she kept thinking about it, and then she would shrug it off, and she knew that asking him was pointless. And this went on for weeks, and every time she scolded him, which, by the way, was often, Bruce needed scolding a lot because he just kept making the same mistakes. And the more she scolded him, the more he thanked her for the blessings. Well, eventually, she learned from one of the other senior monks that Bruce had been saying that to other people as well. And they told Dorothy, that's because Bruce believes that every time he's scolded, he's learned something new, he's moving up in the world, he's connecting closer to God, he's cleansing. Because when you scold Bruce, he does hear you, he does learn from it, he just forgets a lot. Poor Bruce, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but just wanting to grow his relationship with God. So to him, whenever Dorothy or anyone chastised him, it was a blessing, and he was truly and sincerely grateful for it. Thank you for the blessing. Well, you won't believe what happened to poor Dorothy. One day she was at the grocery store and she got herself in the lineup and accidentally hit the cart of the man in front of her. And when he turned around and said, "Hey, watch what you're doing," she automatically said, "Thank you for the blessing." And everyone in the lineup burst out laughing, including Dorothy and the stranger. Now, I know you're smart enough to figure this out, but let's talk about it, gals. If you've been in Snippet Land any length of time, you know that I am determined not to give you fluff. And that means that I give you what you need to grow at the highest, highest level. Well, I don't want to scare you off or anything, but what this means is that when women come deeper into my world and actually become clients and actually start working with me, I want them to grow as much as they humanly possibly can. And so that means I don't coddle. Now, I'm not mean, I'm very loving, but I don't coddle, and I'm willing to hold up a mirror to the women who trust me. I will hold up a mirror for them so they can see what I'm seeing, because that's a coach's job. A coach's job is to just give you back, reflect back to you what you're putting out into the world. And the reason that is valuable is we can't see ourselves. And that's, for example, why I have a coach. I would not expect to walk through this world being able to see myself while saying that others can't see themselves. We need that mirror, gals. The value of coaching, the power of coaching is indescribable. When you have a good coach who simply, gently, and kindly reflects back to you what they're seeing, so you can either take it and learn from it, like Bruce, or you can get upset and turn around and leave. Now, I want to say this about the women that come into my world. Most of them, not quite all, I admit it, but most of them say their own version of thank you for the blessing. And that is why I do this every day. And that is why I invite people into my world. Not so that I can be honored in any way, but so that they, because the moment they thank me, they're not saying thank you for the blessing, obviously, but the moment they can see their reflection in me and recognize something that's going wrong and then correct it for themselves. I don't tell them to correct it. I don't say, "Hey, you got to fix this." I just mirror back what I'm seeing. That's it. And then they take it away, reflect on it in quiet, in privacy, in their own sacred space, and realize this has been holding me back, but I couldn't see it until now. And as a result, of course, they're grateful. So in their own kind way, they will say, "Oh, okay, I got it, Becca. Thanks for pointing that out." Sometimes it'll take a few days and they'll at first say, "Yeah, but I don't understand," or "What? Yeah, but. But eventually they will get it. And in that moment, the growth is so profound and there is so much gratitude, not to me, but to themselves, where they realize, "Oh my God, I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to react like this anymore. I don't have to be unhappy anymore because I'm trying to control others, or I'm trying to fix people, or I'm being defensive." Whatever it is that they've recognized in that moment sets them free. A little piece of them is set free. And the longer they work with me, a little bit more gets set free. And so I'm here to ask you today, all of that by way of asking you today, When someone reflects to you, if you're lucky enough to have somebody in your world who reflects back to you what's going on, what they see, do you take it like Bruce and as a blessing, or do you throw it back in their face as an insult? That's my question, gals, and I'm going to leave you with that question. It doesn't require any more explaining. I know you got it, but it's a question worth thinking about very, very deeply. Can you say thank you like Bruce, or do you throw it back in anger? Just one more thing about this. This only works if you have someone you trust to be your reflection. And I need you to know it's a sad but true fact that very few of us have that person in our lives. Our partners can't do it. They don't know how. They're so close to us that they can't see us any more clearly than we can see ourselves. Very few of us have friends, BFFs, who can do it. Some of us are lucky enough, but the truth of the matter is it's not their job either. That's why coaching is so powerful. Only an objective person who can stand back with love for you, but willing to take it if you don't like it, can play that role in our lives. And that's the role of a good coach. And not all coaches are equal. And I want you to know that this is something I'm really good at. If you're hearing this and thinking, I want someone to hold that kind of mirror up for me, that's a sign, my dear. This is the kind of work I do in private coaching. Not fluff, not hype, just honest reflection from someone who's walked it and is willing to say the thing others won't. If you're willing to take it, I'm good at giving it. I've opened up a few clarity call spots this month for women who are ready to go deeper. Only for women who are ready to go deeper. If that's you, the link is in the show notes. Let's talk this over. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back tomorrow so we can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.